Welcome to episode 77 of Frank Reactions, the podcast where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Temma Frank. As you know, I've attended a few conferences this spring, and today's interview was recorded at one of those, so it's a little bit shorter than usual because people tend to be kind of frantically rushing around at conferences, so it's hard to get someone to sit down for half an hour. Nevertheless, it is definitely worth listening to. The guest is Curtis Kopf, who is the VP of Customer Experience at Primera Blue Cross. And he's worked at quite a lot of companies, including some real biggies like Microsoft and Amazon. And so he brings a very interesting perspective about what is involved in developing and maintaining customer experience-focused cultures. Before we get to the interview, if you missed last week's episode with Daniel Lemon, the author of Manipurated, and also of a book and podcast of the same name, we talked about some of the nasty stuff that goes on in the dirty world of online ratings and reviews. So you might want to go check that one out. You can find it at http://frankreactions.com/76. The other bit of news is that my PeopleShock book is now available at amazon.ca and .com and at indigo.ca and pretty well everywhere else digital books are sold. You can get physical copies at the first few places I mentioned as well. It's also available at your local bookstore if you ask them to order a copy, and they'll get one shipped to them to give to you right away. I'm really, really honored by the reactions it's been getting. There's a wonderful review that I just spotted on a book review website today that I can't help but read to you at the end of this episode, but I'll leave it to the end because I know that's not really what you came here for. So first, let's get to today's interview, and I will chat with you briefly at the end, including reading that book review, but you can always just turn off your podcast or move on to the next one if you don't want to hear that. Chat with you at the end.
My name is Curtis Kopf. My job title is Vice President of Customer Experience at Primera Blue Cross. I live in Seattle. Before Primera, I got to work at some really cool companies like Amazon.com and Microsoft and Alaska Airlines.
Microsoft would have already been pretty big by the time you were working there. Can you talk a little bit about the differences of trying to change culture or improve customer experience in that type of organization?
It's so much harder to drive change in a bigger, more complex organization. When I left Amazon, they were 13,000 employees, and you know, probably at least half of those were in fulfillment centers and customer service. So they were small. Mm-hmm. To go from that to 90,000 employees in 90 countries, and at the time, this was when Steve Ballmer was still there before Satya Nadella, but they were trying to turn the ship.
Yeah.
And I guess my observation is that is very hard to do in a company of that size. Mm-hmm. Today, the company I work for is just under 4,000 employees. That's a great size. You can make a change relatively quickly in a company of that size.
Really? Because that's still pretty big compared to...
It's still
to,
pretty big. Yeah. It's certainly not a startup, but when you think of the idea that at Primera, we can get all the employees who are directors or above in one room.
True.
So really all the leaders of the company.
Right.
You certainly can't do that at Microsoft, so it's still small enough to be able to have that level of connection.
Yeah.
It's still a challenge, though. I mean, change is hard.
Yes. A friend of mine says the only person who likes change is a wet baby.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
You talked about some of the things that you had experienced, and I'm not sure from my notes now which were in your current organization versus previous. You talked about celebrate. I think this was at Alaska Airlines with this customer experience legends.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? There were some interesting examples you gave. So
yeah, that was amazing to me. I went, the Legends Award is given out once a year annually at Alaska to these amazing employees. And I think I went to my first one after I'd been at the company for 6 months. And at the end of the ceremony, I just thought, wow, I did not truly understand this company until I experienced that. Because
so describe the ceremony.
So the ceremony is so over the top. As I mentioned, you know, these employees are selected as legends. And it's firstly, that's such a huge honor to get that.
Who selects them?
Almost unachievable. They get nominated by peers.
Okay.
And then what happens is in each division of the company, those nominations go up to the leadership team of that division. Mm-hmm. Like I was in the marketing team. Mm-hmm. Marketing included customer service and a whole bunch of other functions. We would get all of them, and then we would read the nomination, and these stories would be unbelievable. I'll give you an example of just the kinds of incredible employees they have. A woman who became a legend, I think this was 2 years ago, when they were telling stories about this person. One of the stories was that she was on a flight from the state of Alaska to Seattle, and there was a family on that flight because the child needed medical care that they couldn't get in Alaska. They needed to go to a hospital. This flight attendant somehow befriended this family, who was obviously very stressed out, and got so close to them that she actually went to the hospital with them in her private off-work time while they were going through this. And I don't remember all the details of the story, but this child did eventually die of whatever condition they had. But this flight attendant became lifelong friends with this family. But these are the kinds of stories that you hear them and you just think, what kind of company has these kinds of employees that would do that?
So presumably to get people like that, there's something that's done in the hiring process to find the right kind of people. Because, I mean, you can do training to get people better, but you're not going to take somebody who's not people-focused and
right.
get that kind of response. So what did they do or do they do?
You know, I don't know a lot about the flight attendant hiring process
right. okay.
at Alaska, but I would say this. Every company that is particular about their culture, you know, they have a very specific hiring process they go through because they're hiring for a specific kind of employee.
Right.
And I will say even at the executive level at Alaska, when you go through the interview process, you go through personality assessments. You actually meet with psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that, I think, is their focus on really wanting to make sure they have a good culture fit.
Now, you talked in your talk a little bit about Amazon and their hiring practices. Can you talk a little bit about that for people who aren't there?
Yeah, Amazon is... Jeff Bezos is really fanatical about having a very high hiring bar. And when I was there, he would even talk about that as the single most important thing that everyone did. And I don't remember exactly the specifics. It was something like when you hire someone, they should be of a higher caliber than 50% of the employees currently at the company. So that was the idea.
It gets
raising
harder and harder.
Bar,
yeah.
That every time you hire someone, you should be thinking, is this person raising the bar at the company? That's really hard to do. And Amazon has a formal role of a bar raiser, someone who's actually trained. They're not part of the team that's making the hire. All they do is almost be quality control, making sure the bar stays really high. And it's very, very rigorous. It's unlike any other hiring process that I've ever been part of.
Well, and I thought that was an interesting point, too, that part of the role of that bar raiser is to make sure you don't make panic hires because we're in a rush.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really common problem in a lot of companies.
Yes.
Especially small businesses. It's like, and then they all end up complaining about their bad employees.
Exactly. Well, you see, after working at Amazon, what I realized is that comparatively, a lot of companies don't bring that same level of rigor to the interview process. Like
right.
when I was at Amazon, they had a hiring meeting. So if someone came in, several candidates came in and they were interviewed by six people.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't move forward with a hiring decision until you got everyone in the room and you just sat there and you took an hour and talked it out.
Wow.
I mean, that's the level of commitment. And most companies just don't do that.
Now, that said, Amazon's been quite controversial in terms of how it treats employees. Some people feeling that it is almost abusive. I mean, when you can't spend your period leading up to Christmas with your family because you're in a warehouse somewhere packing boxes. Is a comment on that. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think, firstly, that every company that has a really strong culture, people know it. When you come to a company that has a culture like that, and you figure out pretty quickly any kind of strong culture,
mm-hmm.
whether you fit or not.
Yeah.
I think Amazon has a very strong culture. It's definitely I describe it as it's very hard charging. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very intense culture. And, you know, and you do cutting edge work and you work with amazing people. Mm-hmm. Some people love that and some people don't. The good news is you get to choose. No one makes you go to any company and do that. And they've certainly gotten great results, but it is an intense, you know, in hard-driving culture.
Well, it's almost like I think of companies like Procter & Gamble or McKinsey Consulting.
Sure.
Where you go for a couple of years to get that experience, to be part of that. You nearly kill yourself with exhaustion, and then you quit and move on to something else, but you've had that postgraduate training, basically.
Yeah, I think it's true that a lot of companies, people who are former Amazon employees are really valuable and they're sought after.
Yes.
For companies that trying to innovate and think differently. You know, I got friends who worked at Amazon that are all over the place now at these companies, mm-hmm. because people are looking for what they've learned there.
Absolutely. You talked about getting training, getting top executives actually doing some of the training to try and inculcate how important customer experience was. Can you elaborate a bit about that?
Yeah, I think the idea is really to, wherever possible, remove the distance between executives and the customer.
Right.
Typically employees who talk to customers every day, just they have a more real understanding of the customer. And it's easy, you know, as a leader to get busy being in meetings and doing all the things leaders do, mm-hmm. and you can lose touch with the customer. So I think there's a lot of ways to do it, but it's a best practice to. So at Alaska, they have a variety of advisory boards, and they have a phone call program where executives call customers, and executives spend a lot of time on the planes and in the airport. So their executives are in touch with customers all the time. I think in companies where that doesn't happen as much, you have to create ways to do that.
Right. And you have to get executives who are willing.
And you have to get executives who are willing. That's right.
Because I think that's often a really big challenge.
Exactly.
Do you have any advice or tips for people on how to persuade executives that this is important?
I think every company is different. I've never worked anywhere where executives didn't want to do it. I probably would have a problem at a company where an executive didn't want to talk to their customers. We recently created a pilot program at Primera where executives would call customers and talk to them. And I think I asked for 5 or 6 volunteers, and I think I got 3 times that, which was great. People were so excited to do it. It was, you know, unanimous.
That's funny that it takes hiring somebody like you to get them doing it, though. I mean,
I think it's just how companies think about their jobs in what they do every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a company like a Nordstrom, mm-hmm. or an Amazon or a USAA, you could list all these companies, yeah. that just said from the very beginning, our job is going to be to focus on the customer.
Yeah.
But I think companies can lose track of that. They can think, well, my job is to make profit. My job is to drive efficiency. In
yes.
the end, it's always for the customer. But
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's a really interesting point, too, is that, and I noticed this when I was researching my book, is it's really hard to find examples of turnarounds, customer experience-based turnarounds, in companies that didn't start with that as part of their DNA.
Right.
So, you know, whether it's because, I don't think it's that people aren't trying, I just see it really as being extremely difficult. So the culture that you've walked into at Primera, how long have you been there?
I've been there for 11 months.
11 months, so it's still pretty recent. And did they already have a customer experience-focused group? Or
I think they did.
Okay.
Is the short answer. And I think a lot of companies are in the position where they've always cared about customers. It's not.
Yeah.
I think most companies, it's not that they wake up one morning and say, "Oh gosh, you know, I need to focus on the customer." They've always cared, but I think what's happening in a lot of industries now is they need to be much more purposeful. They need to be much more focused, mm-hmm. For a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, in the healthcare industry, it's just becoming more of a consumer industry,
yeah.
because of things like Obamacare, mm-hmm. where people are now purchasing their health insurance directly, like as consumers, as they've done everywhere else.
Right.
It changes your mindset when you're in an industry that maybe historically has sold your product through companies. Mm-hmm. So you've been more B2B focused, and it's just a new way of thinking, and it's just building a new muscle.
Right.
But I think a lot of these companies have always cared about the customer. But, you know, and then there's other things. There's things like social media where customers are just more empowered now.
Yep.
And that changes things.
And to your last point about innovation, too, that there are digital disruptors.
Yes.
Disrupting almost every industry imaginable. If they haven't got yours yet, they will.
Exactly.
So can you talk a little bit more about innovation within the context of customer experience?
Yeah, I think innovation is really critical to customer experience. I think a lot of companies that are leaders in customer experience are innovative. I mean, you know, you might not, I don't know if people would think of USAA as innovative, but they are, because they're creating solutions for people who might be stationed in Afghanistan. So
yeah.
They've got to think about how can someone deposit a check mm-hmm. when they're somewhere like that. So they've had to be very innovative. So I think innovation... Southwest Airlines really innovated the way airlines operate. So
yeah.
I think innovation is really important. I think especially as consumer expectations change. And as you said, just most consumer companies now have to be digital companies. And that in itself requires innovation.
Yeah. So within the work you're doing now, what do you find to be the most challenging or difficult part of it?
I think driving change is always, I find it exciting, but it is challenging.
Yeah.
You know, it takes effort changing how companies operate to be more customer focused. It takes time. It takes effort. That's also what's exciting about it. Mm-hmm. I think culture is the most important part, and I think culture can also be the hardest part too.
Do you get the sense that, I mean, the human resources departments that have typically been responsible for culture always used to be sort of shunted off and not considered important.
Yeah.
Do you think that's changing?
I do. I think great. I think that some companies probably have viewed human resources as a transactional function.
Yeah.
But I think that great, really smart companies view HR as a really critical partner. I know I do. I mean... in order to drive culture change, my relationship with our head of HR and the HR team is absolutely critical. It's critical on so many fronts. When you're going through change, often you want to bring in new talent. You want to bring in people with new perspectives. HR plays a critical role there. So I think that is changing. I think also HR organizations, as a result, are having to think of themselves differently.
Yes.
And to be more strategic
yeah.
versus being more transactional.
Well, it's funny. I mean, when I was younger, I had HR appealed to me, but it was the HR that I am seeing emerge now. It
yeah.
wasn't what HR was 30 years ago, right?
Yes.
And so I did not specialize in HR because I didn't want to be a paper pusher.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. I think Southwest is the company that's legendary. I can't remember the title, if it's Chief People Officer or Chief Culture Officer, but when you read about
yeah.
Southwest Airlines and how important their culture is, the head of that function was a real key part of that.
Although the one thing that worries me a little bit when I hear companies talking about hiring for fit and having a strong culture, I worry about that engendering a lack of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a serious risk? And how would you deal with that?
I think lack of diversity is a serious risk for, you know, for every company today
mm-hmm.
In general. And a lot of great companies have strong cultures, but you do need to be careful then that culture doesn't become narrow.
Yeah.
That you start to lose diverse perspectives,
yeah.
for sure. Yeah.
Is there anything you wish I had asked you and I haven't?
I don't think so.
Okay. I always like to end with that because sometimes you'd be amazed at the stuff that comes out at the end.
No, I've talked so much for the last hour
well,
and a
I'm
half.
Well, I'm sure you're getting tired
like
by
I've
now.
I've talked myself out, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Of course. Yeah, thank you very much.
One of the things that he said that I found very interesting, and it makes a lot of sense, is the important linkage between innovation and customer experience. because the fact is it's going to be hard to change a culture and to change customer experience without thinking in an innovative kind of way. Getting out of the box that has traditionally ruled the thinking within your organization. So innovation becomes very important, as does, of course, culture. Hiring people who understand the culture that you believe is important for your customers and are willing to do what it takes to ensure that all staff can actually deliver on that culture. And now to the book review that I promised I would read you. It is written by Bianca Smith, who has a website called tapdancingspiders, cool name, .com. And I swear to you, I did not know Bianca, so this is a totally independent review, which made it all the more exciting for me to read today. Here's what she had to say. People Shock by Tema Frank is the latest in a long line of business leadership books. This one is useful, very useful. In 316 pages, Tema gives the why and how of increasing profits in a business. Okay, so that's a little too crass and simplistic. She targets CEOs, but this book is mainly business management, some leadership, and a lot more marketing than management or leadership books usually contain. It has excellent honesty, acknowledging that a company's primary goal is to make money. People Shock also looks at the three P's of customer service and how getting these right leads to increased profits. Again, that's sounding more money crass than the book really is, but I've broken it down to its base premise. Expanding the book's scope back out, reading this book will show you exactly how to make happy customers. Happy customers who spend money. People Shock is broken into three parts, one for each of the P's, promise, people, and process. Tema describes the wrongs and rights for each P with examples and anecdotes from local and large organizations. I love the personal experiences. She even includes her own early email fail. My heart pounded as I read that story. For all of you who've only used services like MailChimp, you'll never understand how complex and risky early bulk mail was. Who should read PeopleShock? There are few executives who can't get anything from PeopleShock. Customer service is a newish concept in the business academia, and many multinational corporations still consider it an expensive cost center. Tema links the benefits back to models, modernizing a lot of what you read and learn in school. Even if you're still aspiring to play with the big kids, you'll get much from this book. Thank you so much, Bianca. You made my day with that review. I really appreciate it. And for anyone else out there, if you do pick up a copy of People Shock and read it, I would be thrilled if you would write a review if you've got your own blog there, but particularly if you would go to Amazon and write a review there so that more people can discover about the book. Even if you didn't like the book, please go write reviews just because I want to know what you really think. That's it for today. You can reach me directly, as always, by emailing Tema, T-E-M as in marketing, A, at frankreactions.com. Find me on Twitter at Tema Frank, on LinkedIn, on the Frank Reactions Facebook page. And I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Bye.